Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
Bill Gilmer with Ralph Paulovich and Caleb Gordon talking about old-time newspapers and radio.
Old-time radio. You know, one of the things that was fascinating in the early days of WTTH was, through an engineering mistake, they were the most powerful station in North America. Of course, the FCC didn't approve that very well, so they repaired that very quickly. But it was a purely just a mistake on the engineer's part, or push one button or whatever, and so that was part of the lore of the early days.
You meant 1,000 watts, not 100,000 watts.
Maybe 50.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
What's funny about that still is that we still receive QSL reports for anyone in the ham. Operators, they're familiar with QSLs, but we get them as broadcast radio stations too, from places as far away as Sweden, Norway. Iceland.
Right?
Oh, yeah, because our antenna pattern, which is essentially straight north at night, sends about 5,000 watts of 1380 across the North Pole. There's no other radio stations between here and and there.
Norway and Sweden.
Yeah, there's really not.
So I got two questions there. One, why are they listening to us?
It's a hobby. Yeah.
And number two, why you know, is Swedish and Norway generally men or families sitting close to the Arctic Circle doing nothing but listening, trying to listen to us?
The only thing you have to do.
I guess. Yeah. It's very boring up there, so be happy. Be happy you're here. Mm-hmm. We were talking at WDOG a little bit, which became WSMA and is now
WHLX.
WHLS. Somehow.
X.
X. Yeah, WHLX.
Because S and X, 1450 in Port Huron, 1590 in Marine City.
Oh, yeah. It's really a transmitter Marine City Highway, as I remember.
That's right.
With maybe a florist shop or something in front of it at one time.
Marine City Nurseries there now.
So now the station there started when did you say it?
They started 50s? The process right around the same time we were coming on the air in December of 1947, but they didn't take the air until 1951.
Okay.
So it took them a couple of years to get all the licensing stuff figured out and to build the site. But, WSMA, most people will know it as WSMA, but it's WDOG.
W-Dog.
Yeah. And then it goes FIN at one point.
Wow.
HYT.
Wow. It started out as a country station, if I remember right.
Yes.
The Dog. And in fact, there was an office that Mr. Somerville acquired the license, and he had an office here in town, like kitty corner from here. There was a small building that had both the Port Huron office of WSMA and the March of Dimes. Remember that? Bob Gibbs.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, headed up the March Dimes back then, and they both sat in the same station.
Ralph, you had a couple of memories of that actually pertained to the Marine City station.
Talking about WDOG, I remember their tagline on the when they routine broadcasts. They would say, "This is WDOG, and we our news hounds chase the news into your home."
The news hounds is WDOG.
That's exactly right. That was funny.
That's good.
I wonder why they gave up that WDOG.
Yeah, crazy moniker. We were talking about great stories that you remember, and of course, in the news business, great stories are usually stories of tragedy.
Yeah.
It was the tornado you remembered. How about those? I look back, I mean, obviously the Ajax Ackerman thing during my era was certainly a spectacular court coverage, but fires were always big. I remember lumber yards and some of the downtown fires. Yeah,
Was the hotel just down the street that burned?
Algonquin?
Up
one.
I
think there was one, the Algonquin was one of them.
Okay,
That had a problem. And then there was the I called it the Boardwalk and Park Place. In modern times, CMH was there, and I'm not sure what community service building is still there now. Down on the south side of town, which was three stories and is now like one story. But it was
the Elks.
It was a spectacular fire. Yeah. There was a restaurant along the river, south side, near,
is
I believe, the lodge.
The Reef, yes.
The Reef,
yeah,
that
the
was
reef
a
burned,
spectacular
very
fire.
Very spectacular, yeah.
Yeah, so I seems like I was always gone on vacation during some of the best fires that I could have come. It was so bad that I think Jeff Stout, Mark White, and the guys were starting to tag me just to see, you know, what am I doing, you know, being away from these fires when I'm supposed to be there. I remember when Boardwalk and Park Place went up in flames. I was back in the days that CKLW was the top contender for radio stations, and I was in Indiana visiting relatives. I finally get a weekend off, and it's 20 minutes before the hour, fire at Boardwalk and Park Place. I just hung my head. I missed another one.
So. Well, on the note of CKLW that Bill just brought up with their 2020 news, you were also referencing some other popular, you know, Detroit radio stations, which had a good signal up here in the Port Huron.
Oh, certainly. WJR, WWJ, WXYZ, all of those stations. Now, I'm familiar with those because when I was the office boy, we ran the radio log in the paper every day. So I would get the material from the stations and put it in the paper. And so
the show was on when?
Yeah,
what
sports? Yeah, much the same as they do with the television schedule nowadays. Yeah. Although that's pretty useless.
It's sketchy as well.
Yeah, pretty sketchy.
Yeah. Yeah. When TV Guide becomes a monthly, you know you're in trouble. Schedules. But we got to remember all those TV programs were once on radio.
Well, yes. Well, you know, families used to gather around the radio and watch the radio.
Yeah.
Before TV.
So we were talking about the Green Hornet and Lone Ranger and
the Shadow.
Shadow news. Yeah. Some of them crossed over to TV and some of them not so much. Yeah. So what do you remember taking pictures? Of course, if I remember right, back in the day, the chief photographer of a newspaper, usually a local newspaper, was almost hand-in-hand tied in with the sheriff's department and police department crime scene.
Yeah, we used to listen to the police radios all the time. And if you heard a siren, you'd call up the agency, say, hey, what's going on? Where's it going? And they'd tell you. And we'd go out and we'd cover everything that wiggled, you know. We were right on top of it. And radio broadcasters sometimes did on-the-scene broadcasts.
Yep, yep. Sometimes fight like our way to the scene of the battle against each other. And I also remember back in the day, there's things that just no longer can happen. But everyone had a special connection with local judges. You could walk into the county building, walk into the judge's room, unchecked, unquestioned.
They didn't frisk you.
Ralph, Bill, how are you doing? Sit down, have a seat.
Yes.
So what do you think of that murder conviction, Judge? You know, and it was just matter of fact type stuff.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And, you know, here, have some popcorn or whatever they were eating, candy, sweet candy. You can't even get into the building now
and especially if you're carrying a camera bag with all kinds of electronic stuff in it. Hey, what is this?
What is this stuff?
They got to examine it carefully.
Yeah. So those days are long gone. But there was that connection that I think overall helped people more than hurt.
Oh, absolutely.
It's
very
very
comfortable
side
relationship.
To everybody.
Exactly.
We just don't have that anymore.
You know, one of the early days, one of the things that happened in the early days of radio, they had live music broadcasts.
That's how they got their music.
The big studio at WTTH had it was a room three times the size of this one or four, and they would have musicians come in, and then on Sunday morning, they had a special children's program. Jane Marshall used to be the hostess for that, and they had a program specifically designed for children.
Just for
and
children.
They'd listen to that.
Yeah.
You know, we had an interesting staff of people. Sometimes there were crossovers from the newspaper. Ed Forbes was the farm editor of the newspaper, and he also had a farm broadcast on WTTH. So that was one of those crossover things. Some of the early broadcasters that I remember include Ken Blevins. He was an interesting guy. He was a pilot, and he would fly on a news story, and I'd go and take pictures, and he would do a recording and broadcast it right from the airplane. He wanted me to buy a plane with him, and I said, no, I can I can be a photographer, or I can be a pilot. I can't do them both and do a good job at it. One of our early newsmen was Ron Myers. Went from here to Boston Market, I think, and he was a solid newsman. Of course, Dick Somerville and Ed Sinesco was a Times Herald sports writer, and he did the play-by-play of the boxing matches on FM. I told you about Jay Smith. He was hired and fired five times between the Times Herald and WHLS, going back and forth. And in the early days, Ned Hubble, who was prominent in local affairs as a public relations man.
PR guy.
Yeah.
A long time.
And, and he was a teacher at the high school and then at the college. He was one of my teachers. Ned was a really neat guy. And, of course, John Hill was an icon for radio broadcasters
decades.
In this area. He was a well-respected and well-liked guy. And every time, you know, he died about 10 years ago. And he used to drive a bright yellow Volkswagen. So every time I see a yellow car, I said, there goes the ghost of John Hill. You know, he was a really neat guy.
Yeah.
So we've had some interesting experiences over the years with those guys.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I look back as well at more current times. The late Larry Lick.
Larry. I remember Larry. He used to make love to old women on the radio. Oh, listen, sweetheart, this is just for you. And these old women would call in with requests. And he was a charming son of a gun. He was got to be pretty politically active,
too. Oh, yes,
too.
He did. He was politically active in Macomb County as a Republican, but back in those days, that wasn't the
thing
cause.
To do. No,
he only would have lived 20 more years. He would have been top dog.
Yeah.
But he got very active in Port Huron city politics.
Sure.
Which John Wismer already was. John Wismer had been head of the DDA. I don't know what all for eons. And Larry and him went round and round and round. And back then, the city council was elected at large, everybody all at once.
Yes.
And no party affiliation.
No, no.
And I remember Larry saying, all you need to do is vote for four people. You don't vote for seven, you vote for four. And here's the four you vote for.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's how he got his crew in. It was almost party politics with a nonpartisan race.
Yeah.
I remember John just... Yeah, he'd get red in the face. There's stories about Wismer we could talk for hours on. The best ones, he used to own the hockey team.
Yes, absolutely.
Town. And him and the general manager, Mr. Snyder, would get into it once in a while. But John had his own little seat there at the hockey rink.
Yeah.
And his face would just get as red as Senate lawns sometimes, mad and storm and yell at the officials. And they eventually had to move him far away from center ice.
John was a good owner for the hockey club.
Yeah.
You know, he's colorful.
Oh, yeah.
A wonderful addition to the community.
Yeah, it certainly was, and sad to see that whole thing just kind of disappear.
Yeah.
But they are now reviving McMorran Place, which is good. They've got a good concert series coming up. I think Nancy Windsor, the rec director, is doing a bang-up job. But you need that in the community.
So yes, sir.
Community involved.
We're lucky to have that.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the final moments, guys, and just Ralph.
Fine, we're just getting started.
Bill, I know. We only have a couple more minutes left. And you referenced this a little bit about either the fires that you talked about, some of the changes. I think it'd just be fascinating to talk the next couple of minutes about what's changed in Port Huron and what's stayed the same, maybe more importantly.
Okay. My idea about that whole idea is in the early days when WTTH and WHLS were competing for the business here, you were talking about hometown ownership.
Yes.
Mueller Brass Company had the boss living here. All of the stores, like Sperry's, Claire Sperry lived here. And these guys had their finger on the pulse of the community, and they had the best interests at heart of everything. Now, sometime roughly in the 70s, corporate ownership started taking over many, many of the businesses, like Gannett taking over the Times Herald. And there are other examples, too. Well, Mueller Brass.
Every bank,
yes.
Period.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Grocery stores.
And so the big difference is home ownership versus corporate distant ownership. And there becomes a difference in the attitude that people have. Why did you make that decision? Well, headquarters, there's no good reason. It's just policy, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the difference that I see is home local ownership versus corporate distant ownership.
I have to agree 100%. I mean, the radio stations generally were local.
Yep.
The banks were local. It's certainly operated by local people.
Sure.
You had names. I think Citizens First was one of the last ones with a local handle on things.
Yes.
And they're, I know one of their ad campaigns was kind of mocking the other banks, like, you know, what name's on that bank now? Well, eventually happened to them. So
yeah.
It's still happening.
Yeah.
So I don't know what name's on that bank now. But my point is that without local ownership, you don't have that local investment. You don't have the local love.
Yes.
You get the Chamber of Commerce together, and who are these people?
Yes.
It's a whole different ballgame.
Yep.
So, and it's kind of sad to have seen that that gone. But it's been gone everywhere. It's not just here in Port Huron.
One other thing that I think you have to point to is the professionalism of the policing. You know, cops in the old days, sometimes in the sheriff's department, you had the sheriff's cronies might have been deputies. But now all of the police officers have lots more training and background.
Yep.
I think that's something that's notable.
Yep,
in the difference between when WTTH first came on the air and today. It is different.
And to bring things full circle, we're talking about the different owners, Times Herald, Enerform, Hanson, now Liggett.
Mm-hmm.
Guess which one's had it the longest now?
That's a good question.
Liggett Communications.
Liggett.
22 years.
Gene
informed us that Enerform had it, I think, 18. Times Herald had it about 21 years. This would be the 22nd.
I don't know about Whisper.
22nd year.
Whisper might have you.
But for ownership of WPHM.
Yeah, yes.
For ownership of WPHM, we're now...
We can do a lot of negatives on Port Huron today, but I'd say one of the positives, and it's almost by default, is that we're finally peopleizing downtown again. We've got people that are working on making lofts available and getting people in those lofts. And that's a key. The more people you have downtown, the more reason you might have a local grocery store, and it might survive.
Better restaurant service.
Yeah, and that's a key to peopleizing. And I know we fought for years, not just fighting amongst ourselves, but fighting the tide that wouldn't allow us to get people back downtown. It was a struggle to keep anything open. And now I see that tide turning, thanks to the more residents we have downtown.
Yes.
Ralph, Bill, we are out of time. We have to do our legal ID.
What?
We have to get out of here. I appreciate you guys doing
Glad
has been
to be here.
This has been wonderful. How about in 75 more years?
Let's
do this again.
We'll be here. We'll do it again.
You can be.
This is WPHM Port Huron.